a green shirt that says FSM, Fuse Student Ministry. They're on sale right out there. We'd love for you to participate. All the proceeds go to student ministry. And so we went off to camp. And when I say we, I meant the student leaders took the kids to camp. And then Carrie and I fly in. We do not ride the bus. And so that's the pastor's perk right there. And so anyway, last 3 years, Carrie and I have journeyed up there. And man, at first it was like another thing to add to the schedule. And then you get to see the students. You get to hear the life change. And man, I can't even like wrap my mind around and try to explain to you. It's always interesting because our men's retreat this year was awesome. Our women's retreat every year is awesome. And we did our extreme camp. We used to jokingly as a staff refer to summer as our off season, but really what that means is our life groups are off. But for the staff, it's a sprint from when school gets out to when school starts again with extreme camp, kids camp, which is our third through fifth grade camp, and then our student camp. And so our extreme camp is our community outreach where we invite all the kids in here, and we saw people saved at that. Then we did our kids camp, third through fifth grade, took a record number, and we saw people saved at that. And then this week we had our largest Fuse camp ever, and we saw many kids that were saved at that. So let's give it up. Let's give it up. And beyond people being saved, which is awesome, and people recommitting, which is great, there also is just life change where people realize that their faith is a starting point but not an ending point, and that there's more to be done, that God calls us to greater things, to commit, to serve ministry, to invite. And so it's not just moving from bad to good, it's moving from good to great. And so we saw so many life change moments. And the last night there's a share time, and I'll let Pastor Lucas elaborate on that in just a moment. But I just can't even try to explain it to you. The best way that I'll set the stage for it is if you watch ESPN, they have 30 for 30s. Does anybody, I have to do guys and girls separately, okay? So guys, you've seen the 30 for 30, right? So it's like bravado, something awesome happened, and then there's like a tragedy, generally speaking, that was overcome. And then at some juncture, you get the sports tier, right? It's like the little sad moment, you know, where like the Hoosiers win, you know, it's like, he's riding for Lane, if you saw that movie, 8 seconds. Anyway, and so then for the ladies, to set the tone for you, just think Steel Magnolias, okay? Steel Magnolias, anybody seen Steel Magnolias? That movie was designed to cripple men. And so so all I can tell you is it was a cinematic moment where real, raw stories were shared. And I don't know, and I'm a psychoanalyzer, psychologically, that's my undergrad in psychology, so I always like try to like, oh, what? Underlying, what's the secret in the sauce, so to speak? And, you know, with social media, this generation shares more of their life than any other generation ever. Amen? I mean, it's good and bad, right? It's good and bad. But you got, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, all right? And there's probably someone that's coming up that I don't even know about yet, all right? And so there's the good part of it is that the willingness to be authentic is at an all-time high. And what it really takes for others to be inspired is for you to share your story. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And then what other people hear inside of that story is, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Other people have problems behind the perfect, pretty, closed doors as well. And on the last night, the students shared from their heart, and it was nothing less than inspirational. And so, without further ado, I'm going to welcome Pastor Lucas. Pastor Lucas. Pastor Lucas.
Morning. Y'all get any sleep last night?
Yeah.
He liars. He did. You slept on the bus the whole way, too.
You slept. I heard about the bus story. So great. There started being some puking on the way home on the bus. Doesn't get better than that, right? 12 hours after someone puked all over everything. That's great, right? I'm so glad I was on a plane. And so anyway, I wanted Pastor Lucas just to share with us. I said, you know, what is a story that you could share with us that would encapsulate everything that's going on in Fuse and how the body is perfectly fit together and how one gives health to another. And he shared with me a story, and we asked for permission. And even watching how that's unfolding up here during this time, it's like my little Grinch heart, okay? My wife is the sentimental one. I am not. I'm the logic, analytical person. But my little Grinch heart grew twofold this past week. And so I hope that Pastor Lucas can share with you some of the brief moments that we had that were so incredible. So Pastor Lucas, go ahead and share with us that story.
Yeah. So part of Fuse is, you know, it's, we get that there's times that it's hard for someone to walk in who doesn't know anybody. We have a family in our church who's been in church for probably going on a year now, and their daughter, who's in high school, she's a high school student in Prosper, her dad finally started to encourage her to try to come. And again, we get, like, if you don't know anyone walking in on a Wednesday night, it can be a very challenging thing, no matter how much of an introvert or extrovert you are. You walk into a room with 150 students dancing around, singing, having fun. It can be a little out of anyone's comfort zone. But after encouraging her, she finally said, you know what, I'll come. And after months of coming and getting to know people and really just kind of taking a chance to get outside of her comfort zone, on a Wednesday night, she ended up accepting Christ. And you can always applaud for that, by the way. And I'll say immediately you began to see a change in her, but it wasn't just in her. At men's retreat this year, her dad gave his life to Christ, too.
Yeah.
And it's a unique family story. Like honestly, much of Frisco, it's a blended family. And if you know blended families or if you're part of one, you can understand the difficulty that comes with that. You take two opposite worlds and you put them in a house together now, especially with teenage kids, it can be a challenge. And so as she's just kind of getting more and more on fire and she's coming, her dad walks up to me one Sunday and says, hey, guess what? I got her brother to go. And honestly, my first reaction was like, she's got a brother? Why haven't we met him? Where's he been? And he's like, you know, he doesn't know anybody. He doesn't really want to go to Fuse, but I think we got him to go to camp. And I don't know, but I'm going to assume there was probably a little bit of a beat down from sister to brother trying to help encourage him, just because I know her personality. But he told me he was going to go, and we were so excited. And then the week before camp, the girl brings a friend. Now, we always encourage people to bring friends the night before, especially the week before, because we kind of do a camp prep. Because for us, we understand that not everybody can go, but we want to start camp early. Yeah. And that night in general, which is an amazing night, I don't usually overread into things spiritually, but I'm going to steal this moment as a spiritual moment. And as soon as I got on stage to speak, and we were actually talking about not missing our moment and not letting any distractions stand in our way, it was like city power outage on Wednesday.
Boom. Power went out. No lights, no microphone, no sound system.
And I'll tell you, you could hear a pin drop all of a sudden. And as we talked about Zacchaeus and this urge not to miss our moment, I know one student, at least that night, accepted Christ.
Yeah. And clap for that.
Before
too.
Camp, yeah.
Let me, as a pastor, I want to train you guys. Anytime someone says somebody got saved, you clap because that's what they do in heaven. So we just do on earth what they do in heaven. So just get used to that.
So for us, camp had already started, and she brought a friend that night who had never been before. And afterwards, the friend decides she wants to go. And so we're like, absolutely, you know, we'll make space, whatever. And she's like, hey, you may not be able to get the money for that. We're like, hey, no worries. Because if you remember the Sunday before that, we said, church, we need three more scholarships. You actually gave us seven.
Yep.
So.
Let me interject. We were asking for scholarships that we didn't know who the kids were going to need them, but we knew that God was going to move. And
that's
so
right.
We ask in advance, and that's the way you do it, because then God supplies. It works, okay? Just letting you know.
Which, a very small side note, you gave enough for 25 full scholarships at $450 a student.
Yeah.
And 12 of those 25 students made a decision that week.
That's right.
So you need to see the fruit in your generosity. So her friend came that night. She signed up to go to camp. Her brother, who still had never been to Fuse, came with us. And we got to meet him that Sunday. And it's a beautiful moment because we actually got to spend some time on the way to the ER that day. With some fun moments at camp.
ER times the best.
You know, 10 years, we never gone, and we went twice. But everybody's okay. It's amazing to say, and I've fought back every ounce of emotion, every service, that both the son and the friend accepted Christ that week.
Yeah.
At camp. So this is a family who, in the midst of trying to figure out what it means to be a blended family, has started coming to GM. And in that time, seemingly everyone in their family has had a moment of clarity with God that has resulted in rededication or salvation. And I walked up to the dad this morning. He came and just expressed his gratitude for the last week. And I said, no, I said, I'm excited to get to share just a glimpse of y'all's story. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, you need to understand, our home will never be the same. He said, our house will never be the same. And what he didn't know is that Thursday night, that was the exact phrase given by his daughter and his son.
Yep.
Was that they knew going home, their home would never be the same again. Mm-hmm. That there would be a love and a unity and a peace in that blended home that had not existed before. And that would forever exist then. Just because they took a chance on church. Just because she took a chance to come out of her comfort zone. Just because the son took a chance to walk into an environment where he knew no one except for his sister and the friend. And forever then, since then, lives will be changed. So that's a little glimpse, I think, of just some of what we saw take place at camp.
All right. Let's give it up for Pastor Lucas at this time. He has more to share, and we shared more in the other services, but we're not going to run out of time in this one. So I just want to quickly say on behalf of Lucas, because I know he shared this in the other services, we want to give thanks to several people. Number one, I'd like to take a moment and honor Pastor Lucas and Pastor Christine for all they do for our students. Would you honor them with us? Yes, yes. Thank you. You may be seated at this time, and I'll ask you to just hold your applause for just a second. But I also want to thank all the church members through your fundraising in our golf tournament, through the flocking, and then through individuals that literally wrote thousands of dollars worth of checks. Our student camps, when you take a extreme camp and you take kids camp and you take Fuse camp. The total cost to make all of that happen exceeds the six-figure mark. And so it's the single greatest and largest investment that our church puts money towards. And so I want you to know that there's a real connection between the money that we give, the money that we invest, and the number of lives changed. So on behalf of the students, let's thank all the church members that make this possible. Students, would you give it up for all of these people? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know that Lucas took 24 volunteers, family leaders, and they directly had a chance to lead some people to Christ and to have counseling moments, moments where they had to, like, corral the jack wagon-ness of some of the jack wagons, and so you're always going to have a little bit of that, and that always leads to what I'd like to call teachable moments, yes. Some have more teachable moments than others, but anyway, and then there was the share time at the end, and I don't think that I can actually, like, go into it, but probably 30, 40 students over a period of 2.5 hours shared their story of life change, and so many of them revolved around thanking the pastors and thanking their life group or their family group leaders, but also thanking their friends. And I can tell you, as a father, I've encouraged my children since they were young, and now I have a 9th grader and a 7th grader going to be 10th and 8th grade, to always invite their friends, always invite their friends. And then in around the 7th, 8th grade year for Jordan, it started, like, catching, started, like, taking hold, and he started bringing friends, and then that led to more friends, and that led to more friends. And then younger brother Titus, when he got into middle school, he saw older brother invite his friends, so he started inviting his friends. And then it worked again. And so I'm going to stand before you and have a little transparent moment. I would love to tell you, as a pastor, as a man of God, a holy man, called of the sovereign Lord himself, that every week when there's about 20 or 30 teenagers from the time school's out till few starts, that I enjoy all those moments. I would love to tell you that I just go to my room and I pray for all their souls and for life change to occur. But that's not true at all. That's not true. I am a neat freak, control freak. And when you have 30 of those people in your house for hours, things get broken. There's messiness. There's crumbs. There's mud. I never will forget, just a couple weeks ago, it rained outside. And this middle schooler came in and mud just all over him. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I got to go get cleaned up. I'm like, not in here. Not in here. You can go back out there. We'll hose you off or something. Anyway, my point is, I'm not a perfect man. My wife, God rest her soul, is our heart and hospitality of the Bourne household. And then you see the fruit, right? Then you see the fruit of hearing their stories of how broken a situation that they might come from. How, whether it's their family that's in dysfunction or disarray, or maybe they lack guidance and have slipped over to the dark side. And when you hear those stories, it makes all of the trial and travail worth it. I say all that to say this to you. In the process of producing, the front end is not as glamorous and glory-filled as the back end. If you go out into the orchard and you love oranges or apples or bananas and you see the ripened fruit and you pick it and you rip it open, you eat it, and it's like that's the glory moment, right? But if you were the person that had to plow and break up the hard ground and tear out all the weeds and stuff that likes to encroach or go through the watering and moving things around and taking and warding off all the pests that try to enter in and consume what you've created. You know, that's not glamorous. There's no glory in that part of the process. So it takes a greater vision, right? It takes a greater vision for someone to be able to go through the first in order to get to the fruit. And I hope this morning, as I share just briefly, that if you're at a place in your spiritual journey where you haven't found your fit and where you're unsure what you need to do within the body of Christ, because the question is not whether or not there is something for you, it's whether or not you found it yet. I assure you, God created you for a purpose, and that purpose is always to fit within his body in some form of service, function, sharing, giving, living, all that stuff. And so I hope that as we go through this morning's message that you would begin to be challenged. And it's not a chiding that I'm shooting for this morning. It's a challenge that I'm trying to throw out there, that you find your fit. And it may be the plowing, it may be the watering, it may be the weeding, but in due season, the word of God, when it goes forth, we know it's going to produce, and we are going to reap a mighty harvest. And so as I was sitting there listening to the stories and several of the students were able to say thank you to Jordan and Titus and one of the students even said, you don't even know, but you saved my family. And I thought, of all the trophies that are in my little mental trophy case, my spiritual accolades, all the things I've seen and done all over the world, great, mighty, miraculous things I've seen God's hand do, I wouldn't trade any of it for the fact that my children readily see that a simple invitation can have such a profound impact on their friends and even extending beyond their friends to those families. And there's a seed of generational change for people that have never had that foundation. I watched one after another share stories of homes that are not ideal. And I was reminded of the greatness of the church. What is the purpose of the church? Why do we do all of this? The amazing thing that I've experienced in my own life, having not been raised in church, one of the only times my whole family was in church was when we were burying my mom. You don't want that to be your accolades. You don't want that to be your family story. One of the great things is the church can give you things that you've never had. It can give you a family that you've never known. It can be the love that you should have got in your household. You can provide parental figures that you've been without all your life, and it can give you an example that you carry, you pack it up in your little suitcase, and you carry it forward into your adult life. And though your family may never turn around, mine never did, and be the family that God wanted it to be, when you take it with you, one day that seed grows up and produces a family that you never had, a marriage that you only dreamed you could have grown up under, and then you can be what your parents never were for your kids and for the people around you. And then God uses the church to give you all the tools to equip you to replenish and replace what you never had growing up. And that is worthy of giving God honor and glory this morning, that the church does all of that. I can tell you this. Though I grew up the way that I grew up, and though I went through what I went through, I don't regret it. I don't. I don't wish it for my kids, but I don't regret it. Because I know what the church means to me. And that's why I live the way I live. That's why I give the way I give. And that's why I surrendered since I was 16. And I'm preaching when I'm 42, and I'll be preaching when I die. It's so that others might know that though sometimes, in certain seasons, it may be dark, it may look bleak, and hope is just a mere flicker in the midst of great darkness. But when the church surrounds you, and when the Word of God fills you, you will have everything that you ever dreamed life could be. And that's in the midst of going through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to preach a quick word for you. I'm not even gonna go up there, but it'll be up there. In Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter is now preaching. The Apostle Peter that had denied that he knew Christ, okay, just 40 days prior said, I don't even know who the guy is now restored. And I hope that might give you some hope and some inspiration this morning, that it doesn't matter if you even deny that you even know him, that there's place, there's space for repentance and to turn it around. And so the Apostle Peter repents. The Lord ascends up into heaven and he says, wait for my authority to come down in the way of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is then going to empower believers and is going to cause the church to move forward as the light of hope, as the witness to the world. God has always had a part of him represented on the earth, whether it be through the judges or through the prophets or the patriarchs or the Old Testament temple. And in the New Testament, we have the church. He's always given a representation of himself as a lifeline for people that would accept him. And so now Peter is preaching to a mixed crowd. Inside the crowd, we had the people that believed in Jesus, who had trusted in Jesus. You had Mary and Martha that had ran to the tomb and had seen the empty grave. You had the Apostle Peter, and you had Matthew, and you had John. You had all these guys that were believers, and now their faith had been affirmed, and they're ready to share it with the world. But then, within that crowd, and this is so interesting, you had the people that had been yelling out, crucify him. Crucify him. He saved others, let him save himself. If he's the Son of God, let him come down off the cross. Can you imagine for just a moment, put yourself in their position? Peter said, the same Lord whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead, worthy of being crowned Lord and Savior. And it says when he preached this to them, it says they were cut to the heart. Can you imagine if you picked the wrong side of the Savior of the world? Can you imagine the guilt and the shame that you were in that crowd that day saying those things? It would be enough to overwhelm an average person that you would think that they would devolve to this place where they would just say, God could never forgive me. If I said that, if I did that, God could never forgive me. And so they cry out to Peter and they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? We don't know. We did all these things. What do we do now? And Peter said, repent, turn. Turn and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. He says, the promise. Now, here's what's good. Oh. The promise. Look at this. Is it up there? Yes, 39. Is to you. The promise is to you, and then what? Your children. And then to those that were far off. Let's just break that down. You heard the story today. Don't you love it when church is like the living example of the word? I love that. You guys like that? I like that. And so what did we hear today? We heard a story about a father, right? Who was the promise to? You. He says, you, parents, and then the children. We heard a story of a father accepting Christ. Then we heard a story of the children accepting Christ. Isn't that why we do what we do? Is to allow for opportunities of life change as a response to the Word of God. This morning, parents, can I help you out? Can I please inspire you that what we need more than ever in our society today is mom and dad in love with one another and in love with Jesus above all things. Can we just agree on that this morning? The promise this morning is to you, it's to you, it's to you, it's to you, that God can take you from the one that yelled out crucified to the one that was on the wrong side, to the people that weren't getting along, to the people that were divided, to where intimacy has grown cold and affection is non-existent and you don't know where to turn for answers and your life is in disarray. And where does the answer for that? The same promise that Peter preached to a group that had betrayed the Savior of the world is the same gospel that saves today. The promise is to you. And it's to your children. And God has a promise for you. And if you could hold on to what God has given you this week, and then please share it with someone. Don't wait till Wednesday. Share it with someone. Share what God said to you, what you saw. Share that. I promise you there are people in your peer group that are in dark situations just like you heard this week, and they need light. They need hope. And we can't go to your schools. I would if I could, but we can't. Please share that story with your friends. The promise is for them, to you, to your children, and to those that were, what, far off, to those that are outside the walls. See, it's for you, it's for your children, but it's also to those that are out there. When I see our students do such a great job of inviting their friends, and then God used those seeds to bring to fruition fruit for all of eternity, that's inspiring. But I tell you this, not as a chide, but as a challenge, that they shouldn't out-invite us as the adults, as the leaders. They shouldn't out-invite us. We all have friends in our circle. And you know, as soon as I say it, the Holy Spirit just puts them in right there. Boom, downloaded it into your brain. Exactly who I'm talking about. You have people you work with. You have people in your family that God puts on your heart. Why do you resist the opportunity to extend a simple invitation to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, and that God could take that seed, that simple, small seed, and change a family forever. We are the church. Let us be the example. It says that as Peter preached this, that 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day. Man, that is exciting. I don't know how many were saved at camp, but I know that it was tens or hundreds. I don't know how many it was, but it was a lot at this student camp. I know that through our church, thousands have received Christ and have been changed by the glory of God. I want you to know that the Word of God works. The Word of God, it works. It always works. But you have to be the vessel that we pour it into. Every Sunday we pour it into. Every Wednesday we pour it into. Every life group we pour into. Every men's study, women's study, we pour into. And when we pour it into you, what we expect, what God expects, is that you take what we pour into you and you pour it out on a lost and dying world. When I heard a kid say, "My dad left and I don't know why." Why do we do what we do, man? When I hear a kid say that things got so bad I left my house and I just slept in the park for 3 days. See, sometimes you think you know, right? You think you know. But behind those doors, you don't know. You don't know the depth. You don't know the darkness. So what is your role? Your role is to extend a hand. Extend a hand. Open your house. Open your heart. Open your wallet. And say, man, life change, investing in souls, that's worth it. It's worth it. I'm going to ask the band to come out, lead us in a time of worship. And I'll end with this little story that I enjoyed. Man, so many good ones. But one of our male leaders that went, I know he had, they all had, all the leaders had life-changing experience, but one in particular, I think this is his first rodeo, and he's kind of a buff dude. I mean, you might mistake him for me in some respects. You know, like he's the guy that like they make tank tops for, right? You understand what I'm saying? The last service, I saw, you know, they have like a reflection time, like we're going to do, and the students like kind of all went up, and the counselors, the leaders kind of went over to the side in case anybody needed to pray. And so I was standing there for a second. I was like, you know what? I gotta get down in there. You know, I gotta go see what's, you know, happening down there. So I walk down there, and it's just like this. Only the auditorium's really long, but there's about 30 feet from the stage to the chairs. And there's so many students at the front that, you know, it's like 15, 20 deep before you got to the chairs. And so I was just able to get to the seating area, and there was one chair in the second row that was open. I just kind of stood in there, and then I was kind of like, take it in. And I don't know if you've ever like been a part of a move of God like we've experienced at our church and retreats and stuff like that, but it's tangible, right? Like you could touch it. It's thick. And so I just wanted to be down in there in it. And so I was down there, and I was watching the kid that we were just talking about that accepted Christ. I thought he was already a believer because he was down there and he was the son was worshiping, you know, all out. And I was like, man, look at that guy. And so then later on, I found out he just got saved. I was like, man, this is awesome. And so I'm like looking through there and I'm scanning. I see my son and he's with some friends and they're all like kind of got their arms around each other, you know, young brotherhood thing going on there. And then I like kind of looked up there, and all the way at the stage was tank top guy, right? And he's like there, and he's like got his hands up in the air, and I was fairly certain, and I don't like observe and, you know, look at everybody's worship posture, because, you know, you can worship however you want to worship, but you have to worship. And I was fairly certain that was not a norm for him. And so, like, I tucked it away in the pastor data bank. And later on, after the share night that we just talked about that was so epic, I kind of called him over and I was like, hey, man, I kind of saw you up there. He said, it looked like you were kind of, you know, having a moment. He's like, yeah. He goes, I'm usually the kind of guy, you know, just keep to myself, worship, but kind of more private way. And he goes, man, I just felt it, you know, just felt it, just went with it. He said, I don't think I could ever go back. I don't think I could ever go back. And to see these students' lives change, and he got a little, you know, got a little bit like me, got a little bit emotional there. So me, tank top guy, we were there having our emotional moment, watching what God had done. And I thought about that. I wanted to grab a hold of that this morning. Because I'm not denigrating the ladies in here. We need you. We need you. But it is interesting that we put it out and we say, we're going to have a women's Bible study. We'll have 100, 200 women show up. We say we're going to have a men's Bible study. We have 10 or 12. What I'm saying is, men, we need you. We need you. And this man that I'm talking about, he put himself in position. And when he put himself in position, God expanded him, it grew him, and he had an experience that he wasn't even counting on, all because he was willing to say yes, yes to the ugly part, yes to riding in that bus with all those kids. I'm telling you what. Yes to seeing the jack wagonness of the jack wagons. Yes to all of that stuff. And then at the end, when you see them weeping before the altar, knowing that they have nothing to go back to, and they're looking at you, calling you father, calling you mother, calling you family, because they don't have anything back there. When you see all of that, it makes everything that you do worth it, and your heart can't help but be full of the hope of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you don't have time. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you don't have money. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that you don't have enough energy because work took it all. Inside of Christ, I promise you, you say yes to Him, you'll find all the time, all the energy, and all the money that you'll ever need. At this time, we're going to have a time of worship and reflection. I know it's going to jump off in here and get crazy, but I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you to this process and say, what is your fit within this body of faith? Man, maybe you've just been praying that our students would swell and grow and reach out to the people around them. Pray for the families that are broken this morning, that need God's hand to touch them, to turn them, to heal them, and restore them. Would you join us as we sing? Would you stand?
Lord Jesus, come. justice all over you. Your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon.
Sing it out today!
Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.